Let's have a look at some scriptures now. Let's have a look at Genesis 1 verse 1. We're looking tonight at what is the purpose of creation. What is the purpose of creation? And so you can see it's no coincidence that we've been studying creation virtually every month here, so that we can see that it is the truth that God created. And Genesis 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." Now, that's talking about the heaven where God has his throne, the spiritual heaven, and the earth. And so it's talking about God created, but the spiritual things and the physical things there. And then it goes into detail. We know there's three heavens. There's the heaven where God has his throne. There's the atmospheric heaven, and there's the starry heavens. So we know that there's three different heavens, but we say in the beginning God created. It's a fundamental doctrine. God created. And he did it through speaking, and you know that he said, "Let there be light," and there was light, and so on. Praise the Lord. Now, why did he create? Why did he create? When we look around us today, we see a fallen creation because sin has entered into the world. But at the beginning, after God had made everything, if you have a look at Genesis 1 verse 31, at the beginning it says, "And God saw everything." That leaves nothing out, does it? "Everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." So we know that at the beginning, God created in 6 days, and as it says there, God saw that it was very good. The curse hadn't entered in yet. It wasn't until Satan tempted Adam and Eve and they fell, and sin entered into the world and corrupted the whole of creation. That's why you see all types of destructive things in creation. That's why you see animals eating each other, and etc., etc. We can go on and on about that. But let's have a look at the reason why God has created, and the reason why he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. Because a fallen creation that we have at the moment is not God's best, is it? God doesn't want sin to go on forever. Look at Revelation 4 verse 11. Revelation 4 verse 11. Revelation 4:11, it says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." So we see the reason here. It's for God's pleasure that all things were created. Now, because sin has entered in, and because the curse has entered in to the earth and into mankind, then it's below his perfect will of giving him pleasure. And that's why there has to come an end of the world. We know that Jesus prophesied that there would be an end of the world. And there's also the prophecy that there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And the old heaven and the old earth will be passed away. So what we do know is that there's coming a time when everything will be set back to the way God wanted it. In other words, restored. So there'll be a restoration coming. But even though we're in a fallen condition, this whole universe is in a fallen condition now, it still reflects his glory. It still shows that he is the great designer. It still has things which we can look at and see the beauty of God. We can look at our eye, for example, and we can see the great design in our eye, the lens and the retina, and the way We can look at things and see things. We can look at the structure of the ear. We can look at the structure of all types of things in the universe today, and we can see that God has designed. I mean, think about it. The earth is the exact distance from the sun to sustain life, to give enough heat to sustain life and enough light and so on. So, you know, if we'd been the distance of Mars away from the earth, it'd be too cold. Or at Venus, which is closer to the sun, it'd be far too hot. So we're at the right position. See, God has placed everything in the right position, but at the moment, we're looking at a cursed creation. Nevertheless, everything was created for God's pleasure. Look at Psalm 19, verse 1. Psalm 19, verse 1. I don't know whether you've ever done it, but I suggest you do it one day. Just go into the country and lie down on a blanket at night and just look up into the sky on a clear night. And I've done it a few times, and you can actually see meteors coming across the sky. You can see the clarity of the stars, and you can even see other things such as planets. Venus is quite clear to the naked eye as well, if you know where to look. So Psalm 19 verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." So what do we see? The heavens is obviously talking about the starry heaven and the atmospheric heaven declaring the glory of God. They declare the glory of God. Even in the fallen state, the Bible says the whole of creation groaneth in travail. Even in its fallen state, it's still declaring the glory of God. We saw just how immense the universe is. Billions of stars in the one galaxy. Our galaxy, the Milky Way, and billions of galaxies. You know, I believe that in the future, once the end of this world comes, that the Lord will reveal all types of things to us, and it'll be a wonderful journey of exploration. And we don't know. We know just a very small fraction of what we could know. And God has an infinite amount of knowledge, of course. You know, it's no effort for God to create a billion galaxies or 200 billion galaxies. It's no more effort for him to create that than it is to create one star. One star, a million stars. It doesn't take God any more effort to create that. But he's made the heavens and the earth for his glory. He has created for his pleasure. And man indeed is without excuse. In fact, we won't turn to it, but Romans chapter 1 tells us that the invisible things that were created are easily able to be looked at, and you can see that the Creator has done it. And even more so are people without excuse now that there are things like microscopes and a lot of research into the molecular or cellular level of things, because they can see just a wealth of information that wasn't available to them, say, over 100 years ago. So we know that there's even less excuse today when they've got powerful microscopes that can look right deep into the molecular level, or powerful telescopes that can look out and see even the mighty wonders that you can see in the heavens. Now, notice it says, "The firmament declareth his handiwork." You know, in the atmosphere, there is handiwork. And that handiwork can be seen in many ways. For example, it keeps out the harmful radiation. You've probably heard of the ozone layer. It keeps out that there's many multitude of meteors that strike our atmosphere every day. But do you know that the atmosphere is like a shield? And most of those, almost all of them, get burnt up before they ever get to the earth. So we see there's a handiwork, there's a design that's associated with things like the firmament or the atmosphere. Have a look at Exodus 20, verse 11. And this is our position. If we were to look into the scriptures, we know that the creation must have only been a few thousand years ago, because if you go back and look at the genealogies, you can see that they go right back to Adam, right back to Adam and Eve. And you can't add millions of years into that. You see that the first man was only a few thousand years ago. And the first man was created on the sixth day. So we know very clearly that God has made the universe in 6 days, but it was only a few thousand years ago. And Exodus 20, verse 11... Let's read this. Exodus 20, verse 11 is the position we should have. Verse 11 says, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." So we see in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is. 6 literal days, not 6 million years or 600 million years. It's 6 literal days, and that's very clear if you read through Genesis chapter 1 as well. Have a look at Psalm 148, verses 1 to 14. We have a wonderful Creator, and his wonders are able to be seen. A wonderful thing that we can look at. But we've been just concentrating in this first half on the physical things of creation. But there's more to creation, and that's the spiritual. We mentioned right at the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and that referred to the creation of all the spiritual as well as the natural or physical. But Psalm 148, verses 1 to 14. Let's have a look at what it says here. "Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the height." So this, if you read through this, and we'll read through it, it's saying that creation is praising the Lord. You see, God made it for his pleasure. Why? Because if he's made it for his pleasure, then it's going to show his meticulous handiwork. It's going to show just how good and wonderful and merciful and great he is. That's why we can say, "Praise ye him." Verse 2 says, "Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light." And there's billions upon billions of stars. Verse 4, "Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created." Notice that, he commanded and they were created. Verse 6, "He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapour, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord." So we know very clearly that the whole of creation, including the spiritual creation, it mentions the angels, for example, the whole of creation is designed to praise him, is designed to lift him up, to praise him. And it's a wonderful thing. But there is another creation that we want to talk about as well. Let's have a look at Ephesians 2, verse 10. It's wonderful to look at the physical creation. A lot of people do that. And some even come to a knowledge of intelligent design. But we want to go further and see that God is still creating today. And how is he doing it? He's creating new hearts, or new creatures in Christ, through all who are born again. And that's to give him glory. So we're looking at Ephesians 2. In verse 10, and this is an even greater thing to realise in terms of giving glory, because the Bible says we've been made to be conformed to the image of Christ, to be Christ-like. And think about that. Jesus has enabled us to be able to walk with the Lord. And that's just a phenomenal, wonderful thing when you think about it, to be able to walk with the Lord. And that's different from the angels. The angels are very different in their creation. They're like particular servants that have a particular job to do, and they do that, and they're not allowed to go outside of that. That's why when Satan and his angels, or Lucifer at the time and his angels, stepped outside, they were stepping outside of their boundaries, and they were cast out of heaven. Ephesians 2 verse 10, notice what it says here. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We talked a little bit on Sunday about the fact that God was even thinking about us even before our members were formed or even in existence. So God has a plan for each one of us, and of course the plan for every person on the earth is that they be created in Christ Jesus. In other words, that they be born again. So we have been created in Christ Jesus. Why? Unto good works, to glorify God. That's why we've been created. Unto good works, created in Christ Jesus. And that's a wonderful creation. And the purpose of creation is, once again, for us to be able to give glory, or for his creation to be able to give glory to God. Praise the Lord. Look at Isaiah 43, verses 5 and 6. Isaiah 43, verses 5 and 6. So whilst we look at the physical creation and see, yes, that does reflect the glory of God, we also see that the spiritual is reflecting the glory of God, and even in a greater way, praise the Lord. And you'll no doubt, it's really in the future that we'll just understand how great that was. At the moment, the Bible says we see through a glass darkly. It's not absolutely clear, but we can see through the scriptures that God gets glory by people who are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Isaiah 43 verses 5 and 6, notice what it says here. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, my daughters from the ends of the earth. Verse 7 says, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. So we have been created for God's glory, and we should remember that. We've been created in Christ Jesus for God's glory. And it's something to look at and say, thank you, Lord. He talks about his sons and his daughters. Well, we're sons and daughters of God, and we've been created for God's glory. Something for us to remember. Look at Philippians 2, verse 13. Philippians 2, verse 13. You know, we've been created to do the will of God. Not to do our own will, but to do the will of God, to bow the knee to what God wants done. And, you know, there is a great work to be done in the earth, because there's many people who do not know God. They are blind. The Bible says they've been blinded by the god of this world. Their minds have been blinded. And so we have a work. You know, it'd be great to be in heaven now. But as Paul said, you know, for me to live is Christ. So when we're here, we're living for Christ. And you know, it's not a nice place in comparison to heaven. A cursed earth is not a nice place, because there's just so much that's not giving glory to God. Nevertheless, we give glory to God as we live according to his will. Notice what it says in Ephesians 2 verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. It's God which worketh in you. He's working in you even now, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He wants you to do his good pleasure. Why? Because we've been created. We've been created, as we saw before, for God's glory. We've been created to show his glory, unto good works, the Bible says, and to speak the word, to believe on him, to act in faith, and to please him. We know that faith pleases God, and there's many people that don't have faith. That's not pleasing to God. There's many people who are doing the wrong things and are going outside of the will of God. But do you know, God's desire is for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, his perfect will is done in heaven because there's no sin in heaven. And God's desire is for his perfect will to be done on earth as well. But notice, we've been designed, we've been created in Christ Jesus for his good pleasure, and his work, power works in us for that as well. And we should remember that even every day as we go about in our Christian walk, as we pray, as we worship him, as we partake of his word, as we thank him, we should realise that we are living for his glory. It's a good thing. That's a wonderful thing. I'd like us to finalise with Isaiah 65, verses 17 and 18, because this scripture shows that there is coming an end of sin, there's coming an end of the curse in the earth and in the universe. There's coming an end to that, and that end is that restoration that I mentioned before. The restoration so that even the physical creation will give glory completely to the Lord God. Now, we know that Satan and all his angels and all who are allied with him, that is, all that aren't born again, will be cast into the lake of fire. And that lake of fire is a containment area. It's a prison. And so everything outside of that is free from sin, is free from the curse. Praise the Lord. But people make a decision, and they need to make a decision for Christ if they're going to go into the future, into the wonderful things that God has prepared for his people. Isaiah 65, verses 17 and 18. Notice what it says here. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem, a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And we know about the new Jerusalem that's going to be coming down from heaven. And what we do know here very clearly is God is creating new heavens and a new earth. And interestingly, the former one shall not be remembered. In other words, God doesn't want forever this memory of the curse and sin and just how bad things happened and all that type of thing. That's going to be all wiped away. And particularly after the white throne judgment, which is the judgment of the unsaved, a very frightening time for those who aren't saved. It's going to be after that, the new heavens and the new earth come to pass. Well, let's have a look at Revelation chapter. We'll have a look at Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 and 2, and we'll finish with this scripture. So we saw in Isaiah 65, it talks about the new heavens and the new earth. This also talks about the restoration. And I suggest you read right through Revelation 21 and 22 because it gives a wonderful idea of what's going to be in the future after sin has finally been dealt with. Verse 1 says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." And this is a wonderful thing. Notice what it says in verse 4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." You know, you think about all the suffering that people have gone through, even some of the people of God, the martyrs and so on. Well, God's going to wipe away all tears from their eyes. There'll be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. The curse will no longer be around. What a wonderful thing. There'll be no more sickness, no more death, no more accidents, no more decay. It's hard to imagine now because we're living right in the middle of a cursed earth. But God has stated it, and it's a reality that's going to come to pass, and that will give him perfect glory and perfect pleasure. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you that you have created. And if you hadn't created, we wouldn't be here. And Lord, we know it's a great privilege, a privilege to serve you, to be created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for the privilege of that. And we ask that you use us for your glory. Even from this day forward, you use us for your glory, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'd like to ask Matthew to come and lead us.